السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا يحسبن الذين كفروا انما نملي لهم خير لانفسهم انما نملي لهم ليزدادوا اثما ولهم عذاب مهين. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى اله واصحابه واتباعه وازواجه وذرياته. அல்லாஹ் சுப்ஹானஹு வ தஆலா ஹஸ் சென்ட் தி ஹியூமன்ஸ் இன் டு திஸ் வேர்ல்ட் அண்ட் தேர் ஆஃப்டர் அல்லாஹ் சுப்ஹானஹு வ தஆலா கிராண்ட்ஸ் டிஃப்ரெண்ட் ஹியூமன்ஸ், டிஃப்ரெண்ட் பீப்பிள், டிஃப்ரெண்ட் பிளெஸிங்ஸ். சம் இண்டிவிஜுவல்ஸ், they are bestowed with power, with influence, with authority, whereas there will be the opposite, those individuals who don't possess any influence, any power or any authority. We find that when Sayyiduna Ja'far bin Abu Talib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, one of the great companions of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he with a certain group of companions migrated to Habasha, to Abyssinia, Ethiopia, and the king of the time, who was known as Najashi, whose name was Ashama, when he summoned the Muslims, then Sayyiduna Ja'far bin Abu Talib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was chosen by that particular group to be their spokesperson. So he described how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had brought a revolution amongst the Arabs. One of the points that he mentioned in that historical speech of his was, يَأْكُلُ الْقَوِيُّ مِنَّا الضَّعِيفُ, that the powerful from amongst us, the influential from amongst us, they devour and they consume the weak from amongst us. This was our condition before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent as the Prophet by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That in Arabia this was normal. This was something which was the norm of the time, that those who would be powerful, those who would be influential, those who would have authority, they would trample over the weak. They would trample over those who did not have any power or any influence or any authority. And after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into Madinatul Munawwara as the Prophet of the time, as well as in Makkatul Mukarramah, after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was granted prophethood, From amongst the many revolutions that he made, one was that Islam gave rights to each and every sector of society. So there was not a single individual who could feel left out when he saw the laws and legislations of Islam. For example, you have an employer and you have an employee. So where Islam has given rights to the employers, Islam has also given rights to the employees. The employee has been told that you must work with truthfulness, with trustworthiness. Whatever your job description is, you must ensure that you fulfill the rights of that job description. You do not cheat, you do not cut corners. So the employee has been instructed by Islam that you must be honest, you must be on time. You shouldn't be late. Whatever is written in the contract, you must abide and you must work accordingly. And the employer has been told that you must ensure that you pay the wages of your employee even before his sweat dries. So both have been kept in mind. It's not that the emphasis is only on the employer and nothing is being told to the employee, nor is it the opposite. This is just one example. You have the husband and the wife. So where the husband has been given his rights, the wife has been given her rights. And the husband has been told that you ensure that you try your best to fulfill the rights of your wife. And the woman has been told that you try your best to ensure that you fulfill the rights of the husband. Parents and children. So parents enjoy their rights and children enjoy their rights. Parents have been told that you ensure that you fulfill the rights of your children. And children have been told that you ensure that you fulfill the rights of your parents. Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu was once approached by a father. And the father said that, "My son, he does not obey me. He does not listen to me." So Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu asked that, "What have you named your son?" So the name that this father had given to his son, it had some sort of a negative meaning to it. It didn't have a good meaning. Many a times, when we name our children, if we are not fully aware with regards to the knowledge of Islam, then we may make this mistake. This is something common that some parents, some couples, when they want to name their child, they only look for how the name sounds. So they want the name to sound nice. A second mistake they make is they want the name to be unique. The name should be such that nobody in our family has named their child with that name. It should be unique. Now when the name has to sound nice and the name has to be unique, and they've only kept these two points in mind, then they open the books and they look for a name which sounds nice to them and which is unique. And what they forget is that what are the teachings of Islam when it comes to naming a child? When it comes to naming a child, number one, the first thing you have to look at is what does this name actually mean? No matter how nice it may sound to you, And no matter how unique it may be, if you don't look at what it means, then it could have a very negative meaning. It could have a very negative meaning. I remember once, I was in the hospital when one of my sons were born. So I overheard another couple just behind the curtain because they had a child also. So they were discussing what they were going to name the child. So what did they say? That we are going to name the girl Alaina. Now Alaina, you'll see this in the Quran, Alaina. But what does Alaina mean? Alaina means on us. Ala means on, and na means us. So on us. It has no meaning. You don't name someone on us. What is the child going to do? Sit on you all the time. On us. But it sounded nice to them. Alaina sounded nice to them. And it was in the Quran. I was thinking even shaitan is in the Quran. Tomorrow someone will name their son shaitan and say, well, it's in the Quran and it sounds nice to me. Alaina, on us. What does on us mean? It doesn't mean anything. So look, these are the mistakes people make. So when it comes to naming a child, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that إِنَّ مِنْ أَحَبِّ أَسْمَائِكُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَعَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ. The most beloved names to Allah Ta'ala are Abdullah and Abdul Rahman. Because it was an environment of shirk. So Abdullah, servant of Allah. Abdul Rahman, servant of Rahman. And thereafter any other name which has Abd and thereafter one of the names of Allah after it. Abdul Rahim, Abdul Salam. Number two, you name your child with the name of one of the prophets. With Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being the most virtuous from all the names. Even more than Abdullah and Abdul Rahman is Muhammad. And we see on an annual basis, when the census comes out, that even in the UK, the name from amongst the boys, which is the most used name, is the name Muhammad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ, that, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are going to elevate your mention in the world. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar fasalli li rabbika wanhar inna shani'aka huwal abtar inna shani'aka huwal abtar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his sons, they all passed away in their infancy. All his boys, they passed away in their infancy. So his enemies, they began to say huwal abtar, that he is abtar. What does abtar mean? Abtar means that person whose lineage is cut off. So when your boys, when your sons have all passed away in their infancy, now your family lineage is not going to go ahead. So it's going to end now. Because you have no males to continue the legacy. So they said Muhammad is abtar. His lineage has come to an end. As soon as he dies, nobody is going to make a mention of him. So there's no need to worry. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar. Your enemy is going to be abtar. Nobody is going to make a mention of your enemy. As far as you are concerned, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ, we are going to elevate your mention. You will be continued to be mentioned until the day of Qiyamah. So your biological sons have come to an end, but your spiritual sons, they will continue and the legacy will continue until the day of Qiyamah. So today, the amount of people who name their sons Muhammad is more than any other name. No other name can match this name. And at every given moment, somebody is saying the name Muhammad. The adhan is being called out at every moment during the day, in some part of the world or another. in which the Muaddin is saying, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. In Iqamah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. When we perform our salah, we read Durood Sharif, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad. How many times is the name Muhammad being mentioned? People read Durood Sharif in their thousands. How many times do they read Durood Sharif and they say the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? The ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam are being taught around the globe. How many times is the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned? So the names of the prophets. And thereafter the names of those pious individuals who have passed in the ummah. And finally, if it doesn't belong to any of these categories, then a name which has a good meaning. So this individual had named his son and the name had some negative meaning to it. The meaning in that name was that this child will be someone whose nature will be very harsh. Thereafter, Umar radiallahu anhu asked him, that how much knowledge with regards to deen have you taught your child? So again, his answer was that I have never made any such arrangements for him. He has not learned anything. He's never sat in the gathering of an alim. He's never been to a madrasa. He's never learned how to read Quran. He's not learned anything about Islam. And thereafter, Umar radiallahu anhu asked him that who is his mother? In other words, who did you choose to marry? Because the woman that you choose to marry, she is the one who is going to bring up this child. The first madrasa of the child is the mother. First of all, 9 months, the child remains within the womb of the mother. So the first 9 months of any child, the company that this child adopts is the company of that woman. So if you have not chosen the correct woman to nurture this child, then how is this child going to grow up to be a good, noble individual? Thereafter, once the child is born, the majority of the time the child will spend with the mother, especially in the initial years. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked that, who have you chosen as your wife? Who is his mother? So again, his answer was such that he had married such a woman in whom there was no deen. She herself was not practicing upon her deen. She did not know anything with regards to deen. When she did not know anything about deen, when she was not practicing upon deen, then what influence is she going to have on the child? So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu then said to this father, then what's the point of you coming and complaining to me that your son does not obey you and listen to you, when you yourself has not fulfilled the rights of this child? So parents have a great responsibility. Your parents, when you are blessed with a child, then this child is a great gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا. Allah ta'ala gifts whomsoever He wishes female children. وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورِ. And whoever He wishes, He grants male children. أَوْ يُزَوِّجُهُمْ ذُكْرَانًا وَإِنَاثًا. And whoever He wishes, He gives both male and female children. وَيَجْعَلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ أَقِيمًا. And whomsoever He wishes, then He keeps that couple barren. They are not given children. إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ قَدِيرٌ. He is Alim, He is the all-knowing. And Qadir, He is the all-powerful. So Allah Ta'ala's ilm and knowledge is such that He knows that for this couple, it's best for them to have only female children. So if Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with only female children, and we want male children, but Allah is not blessing us with male children, then we should remain happy and content that Allah Ta'ala's knowledge is more than mine. So Allah Ta'ala knows that for me it's best to only have females. That's why He has only given me female children. We should remain content with the decree of Allah. And if Allah Ta'ala gives someone only male children, he should remain happy with the decree of Allah. And he should tell himself that Allah Ta'ala knows best. If Allah Ta'ala blesses a person with both male and female, he should remain happy with the decree of Allah. And if Allah Ta'ala does not bless a couple with children, they should also remain happy with the decree of Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Haji Farooq Sahib Rahimahullahu Ta'ala used to say that if Allah Ta'ala blesses a couple with children, then this is a ni'mah, this is a gift. Children are a gift. And if Allah Ta'ala does not bless a couple with children, then this is rahmah, this is mercy. So in both cases, a Muslim will remain happy and content with the decree of Allah. And thereafter he would explain. He would explain, because someone might not be able to understand that when Allah Ta'ala does not bless you with children, how is this rahmah and mercy? So he would say that a couple want children, they are trying, but Allah Ta'ala is not blessing them with children, then they should tell themselves that this is rahmah and mercy from Allah by looking at those parents who are daily countering many, many challenges after being blessed with children. You only have to look at those parents who have children, how challenging it is to be a parent. So these couples should look at it from this angle, that at least we don't have to face all of these challenges which other parents have to face. Allah saved us from all those challenges. So for us it's rahmah and mercy that He hasn't blessed us with children. And those couples who are blessed with children, then for them it's a ni'mah and a gift. When Allah Ta'ala gives you a gift, then the gift comes with a responsibility. You now have to fulfill the demands of that gift. Allah Ta'ala gives you eyes. Now it's a gift. Now what is the demand of this gift? That you only look at that which is halal and you don't look at that with haram. If you look at anything haram, you will be questioned on the day of Qiyamah. You will be punished. So if Allah Ta'ala gifts a couple with children, now, until they breathe their last, they have to ensure that they nurture these children in accordance to the way Allah Ta'ala wants these children to be nurtured. And this begins even before a couple are married. Even before. The children are not even in the equation yet. But what did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? تُنْكَهُ الْمَرْأَةُ لِأَرْبَعٍ. A male or a female, they are married due to four reasons. For four reasons. Number one, beauty. Number two, due to the family lineage. And number three, due to wealth. And number four, due to the deen. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَظْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ. If you want to be successful in this marriage, then make sure you keep top of the list, the priority deen. That how much deen is in this person. If they are extremely wealthy, as far as looks are concerned, you are happy with the looks. As far as the family lineage is concerned, you are happy with the family lineage. So these three boxes are ticked, but there's no deen in this person. You will not be successful in this marriage. And the first three, they are present to some extent or another. But deen is in this person. You will be successful in the marriage. Husne surat jan roz, husne sirat mustaqil. An Urdu poet has said, husne surat jan roz. As far as the physical appearance and physical beauty is concerned, this is something which will last for a few days. Husn sirat mustaqil. But good character in a person has deen, this is something which will remain forever. Isse khush hoti hai aankh, usse khush hota hai dil. So the poet says that as far as the physical appearance is concerned, that pleases the eyes. But when someone has good character, then this will please the heart. So even before marriage, a person has to already start thinking about his children's future, that I need to choose that individual who is going to be the correct father to my child and who is going to be the correct mother to my child. Thereafter, when the husband and wife, whenever they meet in seclusion, again, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us to worry about the child. A potential child. We don't even know if a child is going to come into existence or not. But look how important this nurturing of the child is. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? That every time when the husband and wife become intimate with one another, before becoming intimate, they should read this dua. Allahumma jannibna shaytan. Oh Allah, protect us from shaytan. وَجَنِّبِ الشَّيْطَانَ مَا رَزَقْتَنَا. And protect that which you will give us in the form of a child from shaitan also. And when a individual reaches his peak and his climax, when he is intimate with his wife, then at that time also we have been taught a dua. Now this person, because he is in the state of janabat and he is in need of ghusl, he will not be able to read this dua with his tongue. But with his mind, he needs to say, Allahumma la taj'al lishaytani fima razaqtani nasiba. Oh Allah, do not keep any share for that child which you will give me as a result of this relationship with my wife to shaytan. This is how much concern a person has to have for his child. Thereafter, if we are, when we come to know that the wife is expecting, the first thing we should do is we should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should make dua to Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects this child from all the trials and tribulations of this world and protects the child's iman. And thereafter, the mother especially has to be very, very careful that she does not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during this period. Because whatever she does will have an effect on the child which is in her womb. The great sheikh of his time, Hazrat Mujaddid Al-Fithani rahmatullahi alayhi, sometimes he would walk into a foreign land and thousands of individuals, just after looking at his face, they would embrace Islam. This was his level of piety. So on one occasion, he returned home. When he returned home, he informed his mother that on this particular journey I went and 30,000 individuals embraced Islam just as I entered into that village. So the mother said, well, this all, the credit should go to me, not to you. So the sheikh said that, I can understand you are my mother. At the end of the day, it's because of you I have come into this world. But you had nothing to do with this journey. I went to the journey, I returned, and 30,000 people embraced Islam. I don't understand why you are saying that all the credit should go to you. So she said, let me tell you that why is there such an effect in the work that you carry out? And thereafter she explained to him that when you are a baby, then whenever the need arose for me to feed you, then I would ensure that first I perform wudu. And after I would perform wudu and I am in the state of wudu, only then would I feed you. And I made sure that there was not a single time that I fed you without being in the state of wudu. So it's because of this nurturing of mine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken so much work of deen from you. So this is the nurturing of the child. So our time is up. The time today has finished just in the introduction. But whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted me the ability to share with you, we make dua to Allah that He gives us all the true realization of this and the importance of nurturing our children in such a way that they become the future flag bearers of Islam and the beacons of deen. If we will make an effort, if we will make dua for our children, and we will try our best to nurture them in the correct manner, and we will continue to ask Allah Ta'ala for assistance, then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will definitely show us the fruits of this in this world also and in the hereafter also. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. If the brothers can please stand up and make the rows. Don't leave any empty gaps.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا
There are many brothers waiting outside, so if we can please make the rows again. So any space that can be filled in. If everyone can please to stand up one more time and fill in any empty gaps. Those who are in the rooms at the back, please fill in the rooms in the front first. Don't leave any empty spaces. If you see any empty gap, please fill it in. There will be no Dars-e Quran this week, so inshallah, the next Dars-e Quran will take place next Saturday. And on your way out, you are requested to donate generously towards the running cost. There's a loan of £33,000 which needs to be paid off. So your brothers can please make a dua for this also and try and donate whatever you can on your way out. Jazakallah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اتق الله حيثما كنت وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها وخالق الناس بخلق حسن أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المؤمنين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر وأصدقهم حياء أثمان وأقضاهم علي وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين. اللهم اغفر للعباس ولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا. الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي، فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم، ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم، ومن آذاهم فقد آذاني، ومن آذاني فقد آذى الله، ومن آذى الله فيوشك أن يأخذه. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم واجعلنا منهم، واخذل من خذل دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا تجعلنا معهم. اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين والمسجد الأقصى المبارك، واجعل اللهم آمنة مطمئنة وسائر بلدان المسلمين. اللهم انصر إخواننا المسلمين المظلومين في فلسطين، اللهم ألف بين قلوبهم وأصلح ذات بينهم، وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا، اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، حي على الفلاح. قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
سووا صفوفكم، أقيموا صفوفكم وتراصوا. الله أكبر. سبحان الله وبحمدك تبارك اسمك وتعالى جلالك وعلى غيرك. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى، والذي قدر فهدى، والذي يخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى. سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله، إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى، ونيسرك لليسرى. فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى، سيذكر من يخشى، ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى، ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا، قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى، بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا، والآخرة خير وأبقى. إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى، صحف إبراهيم وموسى. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
الله أكبر. استغفر الله. استغفر الله. استغفر الله. اللهم لك الحمد.
يا رحمة الله.